Scripture mysteries are different. A biblical mystery is a truth that's been revealed, but it's only been revealed to a few people. Matthew 13 gives us the background, I think, for that definition. Jesus had just spoken to the multitudes from the boat by the Sea of Galilee. His message then included the parable of the sower and the seed. Now, one of the characteristics of a parable is it's difficult to understand. And the multitude is left just wondering, what in the world does this parable mean? Well, the disciples see the confusion in the crowd. So they go to Jesus to find out why he had spoken in a parable. It seemed to be better to speak in a way that everyone would understand. Jesus' response in verse 11 is, to you it has been given to know the secrets or the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. To the multitude, the parable is a mystery. To the disciples, it was a message of hope and salvation. The solution to the mystery was only given to a few, the disciples, and their responsibility was to take that message, to reveal it to others through their life and their words as a witness to God's grace. And we have the same responsibility today. The mystery of God's grace has been revealed to us. We know what God has said about the kingdom and about salvation. We have the responsibility to manage that message well. See, good stewards are people who promote the mysteries of the faith. So our study this morning presents to us three ways that good stewards promote the mysteries of God's grace. First, we find that good stewards interpret the mystery. Do we always look at things God's way? It's an important question. Here's an interesting experience that gives you an example of how does God really look at things. It takes us back quite a bit to the AIDS epidemic, but a daughter was visiting her mother and sitting in on her mother's weekly bridge game. Well, in between the bidding, the topic got around to the AIDS epidemic and how it kind of dropped out of the media. Well, one of the ladies suggested the disease was God's way of punishing homosexuality. Well, the doctor just sat there and steamed while the women developed the theme of God's vengeance. And finally, she just couldn't hold back any longer. She felt she couldn't leave that view unchallenged. Her words to them, I think, should make us stop and think about whether we truly understand what God is planning, what God is doing in this world. See, those ladies were all in agreement that AIDS was an act God's judgment. The daughter simply looked up from her cards and asked, what if AIDS is God's way of testing your compassion? Have you ever considered it that way? It's easier to think of AIDS as an act of God's judgment because then we don't have to do anything uncomfortable. We must get the way of God when he's judging somebody. More difficult to see AIDS or the coronavirus or any number of other diseases as a call to compassion, because that means we have to do something about it. It means we have to act in a caring and redemptive way. It means we have to show Christ's love to others. Which response would you say shows the mystery of God's grace? Let's look at some passages. Talk about the mystery of God's grace and what it includes. 1 Corinthians 2. Paul talks about his message to the Corinthians and how he delivered that message. He tells them he came to them with just one message, and that was the message of the gospel. Verse 2, it says, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He spoke to them of the crucifixion of Christ. He didn't use the wisdom of men. He spoke in the power of God so that they would understand that people are saved only by the power of God. The entire gospel, in fact, is the mystery of God's grace. Verse 7, Paul says that he spoke God's hidden wisdom in a secret or a mystery. So the mystery, according to Paul, is the gospel of salvation. 1 Corinthians 15, 51-58, it tells us that resurrection is a mystery. Verse 51 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." People wondered, how can I ever gain victory over death and the grave? And the answer is Christ is one day going to raise us just as he was raised. At that point, the final victory over death is going to be experienced by every believer. So the mystery is also the new life of the resurrection. If we go to Ephesians 1, Paul identifies all the great doctrines of salvation as being part of God's ministry of grace. And so he talks about election and sanctification. He talks about our adoption as sons of God, redemption in Christ's blood, future glorification, and the sealing of the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on and he identifies all of those doctrines as being part of the mystery of God's will. Verse 9, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. See, those are doctrines that are not readily understood. You have to work at it. You have to study. They're a mystery of his grace. 1 Timothy. Paul identifies the incarnation and the subsequent glorification of Christ as part of the mystery. He says in chapter 3, verse 16, "Great indeed we confess is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory." You know, people want to say Jesus was just a man because they can't understand the mystery of God becoming flesh and dwelling among us. Part of the mystery of God's grace is that God did become flesh and dwell among us. Now, I want you to notice something about all these verses. They all deal with doctrines about God and salvation. We tend to get sidetracked by talking about current events and topics that help us to live better lives. But if we're going to be good stewards of God's grace, we need to realize there are no other verses in Scripture that talk about mysteries. Good stewards of the mysteries of the faith strive for clarity as they interpret the doctrine of salvation and they share with people what they have to do. Be saved. Clarity is essential. During airline flight, a woman complained of discomfort due to the changing air pressure. So the flight attendant gave her some gum. She told the woman that the gum would help to relieve the pressure in her ears during the landing. Well, after the landing, the woman started complaining again. She said she found it almost impossible to get the gum out of her ears. The moral of the story is, you got to be clear. Really, really clear. Good stewards make sure that they interpret the mysteries of God's grace clearly. People who are lost in their sins, facing eternity in hell, need to hear that clear message of redemption and salvation. Remember that as you interpret God's message for the world around you. Christ never got off message. He always kept the focus on the mystery of the grace of God. It's our responsibility as stewards to interpret that message correctly and keep it clear. Very clear. Now, the second thing that stewards do with the mysteries of God's grace is they internalize the mystery. A few years ago, the Associated Press carried the story of an 81-year-old man who was wheelchair-bound. His name was Wilbur Griggs. He had murdered his housekeeper. Well, the judge gave Wilbur a suspended sentence because some of the unique circumstances of the case. The suspended sentence meant that Mr. Griggs didn't have to go to jail. All he had to do was live out the rest of his life under probation. And that was the agreement. It didn't work. Immediately after the sentence was handed down, Wilbur Griggs ended up in jail because he refused to abide by the most important part of the plea agreement. He refused to God's. Now, here's a man who could live out the rest of his years in his home, but he ended up in prison because he refused to follow the established rules. I wonder how often we do the same thing when it comes to keeping the stewardship of God's grace. The requirements for being good stewards are pretty clear. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 is the passage. It says, this is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. The quality of our spiritual lives should show to others. We are stewards of the mysteries of God and servants of Christ. The one requirement is that we be found trustworthy. When we give account to God, he's going to want to know, did we keep the faith? He's going to want to know, were we ready to obey, to follow him whenever he needed us? See, that's what the bema seat judgment is all about. We appear before God, and he requires us to be trustworthy stewards, and that particular judgment determines how well we did as faithful stewards and managers of his grace. Well, the primary way that we prove our trustworthiness by sharing the gospel with others. In Ephesians 3, Paul talks about how God had revealed the mystery of his grace to him. And he calls it, in verse 2, a stewardship. Assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. The mystery was that salvation was being offered equally. Jews and Gentiles, both made up the body of Christ. Paul's responsibility was to share that mystery of salvation equally with all people. Let's go to verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians 3. To me, though, I am the very least of all the saints. This grace was given to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone was the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created it. Paul's responsibility was to share the gospel. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 9:16, Paul says that he was under compulsion to preach the gospel. It says here in the New English Standard Version, it says, if I preach the gospel, that gives me no grounds for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. He's compelled to do it. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. It's his stewardship before God. If he doesn't do it, he's going to face trouble. So the point is this. Over and over again, the mystery of God's grace is equated in Scripture as being a stewardship from God to believers. We need to realize it's our stewardship. We need to fulfill the requirements of this steward. God has saved us, and we owe him our faithful service. We're to be trustworthy servants that he can count on to be ready to proclaim the gospel of salvation at any moment when every opportunity arises. And I'll guarantee you right now is a great time to be able to share the gospel because people are open and searching. You see, being ready and proclaiming the gospel, that's what it means to internalize the mystery. We accept its provisions and its requirements as our own. That's how we manage God's grace. And then the third thing stewards do is they implement the mystery. There's a hot, humid evening in Clinton, Mississippi. Dr. James L. Sullivan was preparing to speak at the midweek prayer service. The windows and doors were open to let in any breeze that might stray by. Outside the front door sat Dr. Sullivan's dog. When he started to speak, the dog jumped up and trotted inside and sat down on the platform right next to the pulpit. Well, congregation chuckled. Well, the associate pastor led the dog out of the church, but before he could even get back to his seat, the dog was right back up on the platform. And the congregation just broke out in laughter. Dr. Sullivan broke into his lesson, and this is what he said. You know, spits came in here tonight seeking his master. And that's more than can be said for a lot of people. Spitz heard his master's voice, and he jumped to obey. That's all it takes to implement the mystery of God's grace. We just need to hear the voice and jump to obey. We've already talked about how central the preaching of the gospel is to good stewardship. Let's look at one more passage that speaks about that and illuminates it even more. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, that's kept secret for long ages. What Paul tells us here is we're established in the faith according to the preaching of the gospel. See, preaching is what reveals the mystery of God to man. And it's not just for preachers, though, because he goes on in verse 26 and he says we're all responsible to proclaim the message of the gospel. But it's now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. Obedience of faith. Our lives, our words, it's the best way to implement that mystery of God's grace and make it impactful in other people's lives. Another way we implement our stewardship of mystery is through prayer. Colossians chapter 4, verse 3 tells us that prayer is what unlocks the door of opportunity for the mystery of Christ to be preached. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. Ephesians 6:19. It tells us that prayer allows the mystery of the gospel to be preached with power. He says, pray also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. A good steward of the mysteries of God's grace has a rich and a vibrant prayer life. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. It gives us a third way that we implement the mystery of God's grace. Paul says there that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. See, the life of the church body is to take hearts that have been knit together in Christ and to show that love by encouraging one another, by loving one another, by teaching the truth of God. That's how we implement the mystery of God's grace. When the entire body is showing the mystery of God's grace in their inner relationship, then the revelation is seen by other people, and God's mystery is made visible to the world. To be good stewards of the mystery, they have to reveal it to others. Maybe we need to understand it, accept our responsibility toward it, implement it in ways that achieve God's plans and purposes with the mystery of His grace. Chinese legend tells of a farmer. He was working on his hilltop farm and he felt the tremor of a large earthquake. He looked down from the hill and he suddenly saw the ocean withdrawing swiftly away from the shoreline, and he knew that they were facing a tidal wave. On the valley below, he could see his neighbors working in their fields, but he couldn't shout loud enough for them to hear. They weren't aware of the impending disaster. So he quickly figured out the only way to get their attention to get them up on the hill. His barns were as dry as tinder. So with a torch, he set them on fire, and he rang the fire gong that was mounted to the barn. His neighbors saw the smoke. The entire village emptied out. Everyone came up the hill to help. And then from their safe perch on the hill, they watched as the massive wall of water crashed down on the village and inundated their fields. And all of a sudden, they realized the price that poor farmer had paid to save them. They erected a monument that said in his honor, said it's still standing, bearing his epitaph. He gave us all he had, and he declared. That's the message of the gospel. Christ gave us all he had, and he gave it gladness so that we could be with him for all eternity. The mystery is resolved. We know that in Christ, all people can have eternal life. So what do you do with the solved mystery? Well, good stewards are doing everything they can to reveal the solution to others. Lord, we thank you that you save us. And we share that wonderful